Oh, hi, my name's Mary Campbell. I'm a resident on, I live on Green Street, 33. I'm against it because of the traffic, trying to get out onto Post Road to try and make a left-hand turn to go under the bridge. People are coming under the Greenwood Bridge. The traffic, there's been numerous accidents at the top of Green Street and the other access out of my neighborhood, which is Main Avenue, right at the Greenwood Bridge. If there's an accident on Main Avenue, which there has been, everybody comes down Moss, down Green, to try and get out on the Post Road, because the whole Greenwood Bridge is shut down, along with Main Avenue, along the back of the airport. The same situation, there's been numerous accidents on Post Road, across from the House of Glass. At least every 6 months, the last one, the traffic was tied up for 4 hours on Post Road because the police cruiser drove into the porch on the house at the top of my street. The other thing is I know all about New England Tech and their abandoned buildings on Post Road. They have numerous ones. The one that's operating now is the bigger building where they did the COVID testing in the parking lot. So I'm just here because it's just, with the dead end street, which is Clark Street, that whole little neighborhood there is all families, plus the fire hall is there at the dead end there, which has all the antique fire trucks in it. It's a small round circle. They do birthday parties there. They take the kids in the neighborhood on the antique fire trucks. But the thing is the traffic, trying to get out of Green Street or trying to get out from Moss onto Main Avenue. And if there's an accident, everything's tied up in Warwick. If all it takes is one accident on 95 and everybody's off of the highway, right down into Appanag, right down into Greenwood, right down into Jefferson Boulevard. And as far as building, they're building, everything's going to be built up on Post Road. They're going to put apartments down near Airport Road. They're putting stuff in where Inn and Hope was. They're putting supposedly condos for the elderly are going to be going in on Jefferson Boulevard where all the factories are supposedly in a couple of years are going to be taken over. That's across from the train station. I mean, I agree with the gentleman earlier about the whole Diamond Hill thing, but I'm in Greenwood right now. I've been living there forever. New England Tech is in my backyard, the parking lot. Thankfully, that's great. It's been empty, which is great for all of my neighbors because, we have a little bit of solace from all of the noise between the train station and the airport. And it just seems everywhere you turn, everything is being moved because of the airport or the train station. I mean, we lost all of the houses on the other side of Main Avenue. They're all gone to extend the airport. And all of the ball fields and soccer fields got moved off to Airport Road. But, I mean, these kids are playing baseball and soccer, but the jets are still flying over with the jet fuel, you know, over their heads. It's just unbelievable the stuff that's being, like you said, every time, corner, there's a new coffee shop, a new restaurant. There's a car wash, brand new on Post Road. There's another storage thing on Jefferson Boulevard. It's just that it's overwhelming, along with what's going on in Appanag. It's supposed to be, Appanag is unbelievable now. But I'm just here because of the traffic. Something out, I mean, say 10 years down the road, they could just move right in and open up Clark Street and just keep going. Even when you come out down Main Avenue and you bear right on the Post Road, there's been numerous accidents there. People don't yield for people that are coming up under the Greenwood Bridge. And you can't even make a right-hand turn on the Green Street if you're coming up under the Greenwood Bridge, because people are coming off Main Avenue. And the other situation is the traffic light that's right before the entrance to the bigger New England Tech building, that's not even in use. If all of this does go through, I'd like to have that traffic signal move down towards Green Street, so there'd be at least a traffic thing there so you could pull out. But that's my opinion, and a lot of my neighbors too. But I've been living in on Green Street for over 35 years, and I grew up on the other side of Greenwood, which is over near the Greenwood Credit Union. But I'm against it. Thank you.
Thank you very much, ma'am. And as the attorney said, this is the next step. So there will be additional traffic studies and additional public hearings on this as well. Is there anyone else that speak out against PCO 25-22 or PCO 26-2022? Is there anyone here that would just like to be heard on PCO 25-22 or PCO 26-2022? Anyone here that would like to be heard on the record regarding this project? Anyone here that would like to be heard on the record? No. Hearing none, Councilman Howe.
Close public hearing on both items.
Second by Councilman Lattiser. All in favor in closing the public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any objections? Any abstentions? Okay, Councilman Howe.
Move favorable action on both PCRs, please.
Do we have a second? And then we're gonna open up. Okay, we're gonna do one at a time.
Okay.
So are you moving PCO 25-22 for favorable action?
Move PCO 25-22 favorable action, Mr. President.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Lattiser. Are there any, and Councilman McElroy, are there any questions or comments on PCO 25-22? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Mr. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
Thank you. PCO 25-22, first passage. Councilman Howe, would you like to move PCO 26-2022?
Move favorable action, PCO 26-2022.
Second by Councilman Foley, Councilman Lattiser. Any questions or comments on PCO 26-2022? Hearing none, the clerk will call the roll for favorable action.
Ms. McAllister?
Yes.
Mr. Foley?
Yes.
Mr. Gephardt?
Yes.
Mr. Howe?
Yes.
Mr. Lattiser?
Yes.
Mr. McElroy?
Yes.
Mr. Riggs?
Yes.
Mr. Sinapi?
Yes.
Ms. Travis?
Yes.
9 yes, first passage.
First passage passes.
Thank you very much. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank you, sir.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you.
We are now moving to our final public hearing of this evening, which is PCO 4-22, an ordinance amending the zoning ordinances for short-term rentals. Committee report, land use.
Committee recommends opening public hearing.
Councilman Lattiser.
Move to open the public hearing.
Second by Councilwoman Travis, Councilman Gephardt, Councilman Howe. All those in favor to opening a public hearing, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Any abstentions? Okay, just as we've done with the first three, we are going to ask an individual to present PCO 4-22. Then we'll have members of the council that can ask questions, and then we'll open it up to the public. There'll be an opportunity for people to speak in favor of this. They will have an opportunity for people to speak against it, and there will be an opportunity for people to just be heard on the record. Before we have the city come up, Councilman Lattiser, as the sponsor.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is something that I've been working on now probably 6, perhaps even 7 years, and it's been a long time in coming. And this is something with short-term rentals where the city of Warwick had no oversight, no control, and virtually a lot of responsibility. It's something that has been going on unsupervised and unregulated for a very long time. About 5 years, maybe 6 years ago, I actually put together a committee. Back then, Mr. Lucas Murray was here, and he was heading up the planning department, and that began the process. Initially, what triggered my involvement on this was one of my own constituents who was singled out 2 administrations ago for operating what was classified as an illegal short-term rental. That constituent went through all the motions, did everything that the city requested, and became compliant. As a matter of fact, became the only, at the time, and to this day still is, the only licensed short-term rental unit in the city of Warwick. So it became obvious to me that this is something that needs to have a much broader brush applied to it. The short-term rentals need to be controlled. They need to be regulated. They need to be accountable to the city of Warwick, and they need to be accountable to their neighbors. So I approached Mr. Kravitz when he became the planning director for the city of Warwick and asked him to help me on this and pick up where it was left off. And I think he did an outstanding job in drafting this particular ordinance. This is something, excuse me, that this ordinance has received the support of the planning department, of the planning board of the city of Warwick, and the building official has weighed in on this as well. So, if I may, Mr. President, through the chair, I would like to request that Mr. Kravitz speak to us and go through PCO 4-22 and speak to its issues.
Okay, is there anyone here to speak to present this to the city council from the administration?
Yes, good evening. Tom Kravitz, city planning director. Well, let me first say that Sean Henry of my office did pretty much all the work on this. He did some research as to the current trends in these type of ordinances, which is really a policy decision by the city, you know. But Sean looked and spoke with officials at Newport and other areas. He did research in other towns. And so he did a good job. So, but let me jump into briefly from what I heard and then some of the calls that I fielded while this was out for notice was really there was one provision that was kind of concern to people in the use table. And that being that the short-term rental be owner-occupied of the dwelling. You'll see this on page 2 of the proposal, where you see the zoning districts and the use table, essentially. When it says yes, this means this will be allowed by right. no, of course, means it's not allowed. So, you know, non-owner occupied dwellings would not be allowed. So it's got to be owner occupied. That's kind of the key thing that keeps coming up time and time again. To me, in my discussions, aside from that, of course, we added several definitions in this provisions in here to control the number of vehicle spaces required based on number of occupants, dwelling unit size. The one thing the planning board, I should say, in their positive recommendation to the council on this matter, they did ask that the city solicitor look at the accessory dwelling unit law that was passed this year, because there may be some provisions in that that could be construed to be very progressive and allow for rental situations of accessory dwelling units. And they didn't know if that kind of conflicted with short-term rentals. I have that statute here with me, if there's any questions on that too. But, you know, with that, I think maybe we should just get to the public portion of the presentation to hear from the constituents. Unless anyone has any specific questions of me, I'm right here.
Thank you. Councilwoman Travis, as a co-sponsor, would you like to ask any questions at this time? Or okay. Director, I think you hit on the issue that I know that I've heard from people about the owner-occupied part of this legislation. When you put this together, what is your thinking on putting in that provision?
Well, frankly, it was meeting with Councilman Lattiser. That was a concern of yours. It's fair. It's a policy decision by the city. And that's, you know, if the theory being, if there's a presence on the property by the owner, in terms of the probability of having an issue is less than there not being a presence by the owner. I mean, simply stated, I think that's what we're trying to hit on. So that's what we'll hear about this evening.
Any questions from the members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. President. So, yeah, what Director Kravitz spoke to is very, very true. When you have an owner-occupied dwelling, there is obviously someone on that property who is responsible for the property. There is someone that can and will react immediately should you have a burst water pipe, or you have a clogged septic system or sewage system. If there's any type of emergency on that property, if there is a fire on that property, it's very different when you have people who are short-term rentals who do not have the information or the knowledge of the property, very well may not even know where the circuit breaker panels are, should there be any type of electrical problems in the house where the power needs to be shut off. May not have any idea where the main shutoff is for the water to the house, should there be any problems with a broken pipe, a burst pipe, etc. The overall exterior maintenance of the property and the surrounding property associated with this dwelling is certainly maintained much better when it is owner-occupied than when it is not. Even more importantly, when the owner of the property doesn't even reside in the city of Warwick and resides perhaps out of the state, or certainly out of the city. These are the reasons for, or some of the reasons for, the owner-occupied provision in here. There has been issues in Newport, in Boston, in various other areas where these type of problems have occurred And the results were pretty devastating because there was no one on site on the property that knew the inner workings of this property. Now, I too have received several contacts regarding owner-occupied. And that is something that certainly I am listening to, and I'm particularly interested to hear this evening from people who are both in favor and opposed to this particular ordinance. I am totally committed to controlling, regulating, having accountability, responsibility, having registrations, having fees and licenses apply to these short-term rentals that also level, or at least attempt to level, the competitive nature that we have here in the city of Warwick. Having said that, once we hear the public testimony and comments both for and against this, you will see where it goes from there. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments from members of the council? Councilman Ricks.
To the director. First, I wanted to thank you for getting back to me right away when I sent in something of a laundry list of comments and questions. I think that there are some areas where we can improve the current draft ordinance, but in general, I'm satisfied with the direction that it's headed. So to clarify some questions on owner occupancy for our colleagues on the council, as well as for the public, a few quick questions off the bat. By owner-occupied, that doesn't mean that the owner has to be literally on site 24/7, right?
No, that's our interpretation, yeah, that the owner will be present at the site, at the property in question.
Let's see. So, let's see, the owner wouldn't be allowed to step out, run to the grocery store or something?
I suppose they can do that.
Yeah. Let's see. So, yeah. Also, if the owner has, let's say, a duplex or a three-family house and they live in one unit, then the owner, it would still count as owner-occupied when they rent out those units that they don't live in that particular unit?
Right. That was one of the ones we talked about today, right? If you have a three-unit, multi-unit building, if the owner resides in one of the units, that is considered to be occupied, the property, that is.
And I didn't specifically mention this one in the email, but just to give people a general sense of the process here, when owner-occupied is allowed by right, that means that they don't have to come in front of the planning board or the city council or the like to get approval. It's just a matter of going through the normal application process with the proposed $250 fee, right?
And potentially submitting plans to the building department.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, through the building department, but not a public hearing like coming up in front of us like the earlier right. petitioners.
Correct.
However, for non-owner occupied, it's not an absolute 100% bar. It would mean that if there's a non-owner occupied property and someone wants to apply for a special use permit, that although it would be more involved, it would involve going through some public process with notice and to the neighbors and a hearing, it would still be theoretically possible if someone wanted to go through that process?
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That's kind of my groundwork, framework type of questions.
Thank you, Councilman Ricks. Any other questions from members of the council at this time? Okay, hearing none, we're going to open up for public comments. We're going to follow the same process here. I'm going to ask individuals to come up that would like to speak in favor of this ordinance, then anyone who's here to speak against the ordinance, and then anyone who just likes to be heard. So I just ask that when you come up to the mic, if you speak clearly, give your name and your address for the public record. And we have the Sergeant of Arms there is there to help you as well.
Good evening. My name is Cindy Wilson. My address is 25 Morgan Avenue, Warwick, Rhode Island. So in February of 2008, Brian Chesky and Joe Geba, who were graduates of RISD and resided in San Francisco, came up with an idea to rent out their air mattress. 2008. That's when Airbnb started. I have been doing Airbnb since 2014. I am one of two people who are registered that I know of. I did a public request a few months ago, and there were just two. I'm so happy we're finally here. I would like to tell you my reasons why I think they should be owner-occupied. Now, here's the thing. I know that there are a bunch of people here that own Airbnbs that don't live there, and I'm hoping the president will keep everything calm during this process. They're not the only people in Warwick that own them. There are 76 in Warwick now, 76. In last year, China spent $1.2 billion buying properties in the United States to rent them out, to avoid scrutiny, to avoid taxes. So it's not just people that live in Rhode Island. It's people that live all over the world who can't get to a resident quickly. So here are the negative effects of Airbnbs in general that aren't occupied. It reduces the number of permanent housing. I am now hosting my second homeless person in my house, who was referred to me as a friend from a friend. I'm going to read to you her brief statement. She's not here tonight because she works 11 p.m. till 6 a.m. in the morning, and I watch her 8-year-old daughter. Dear City Council members, my name is Crystal Riley. I'm a victim of the shortage of housing in Warwick. Recently, I became homeless because of housing overpricing and short-term rentals. I have an 8-year-old daughter. We have slept in my car in truck stops and have been couch surfing at friends' houses. Because I don't have a place to live in, it is almost impossible for me to work and get my daughter to school. I have all my belongings in a storage unit, which costs me almost $200 a month. I am currently working 11 till 6 at a gas station. It would be impossible for me to have a deposit and first month's rent anytime soon. I'm forced to buy fast food daily as I have nowhere to cook. I have to leave my car running to keep us warm, which has been very expensive. I must go to my storage unit almost daily to retrieve clothes and incidentals. Recently, a friend hooked me up with Cindy. She has been incredibly gracious, allowing my daughter and I to stay at her house. She also is home while I work. She has allowed me to do laundry at her home so I can get some sleep during the day. I was born in Warwick and have lived here most of my life. The city has over 70 short-term rentals, most of which are not owner-occupied. Why are you allowing people to do this and take away low-income housing that exists? You're creating a whole new level of poverty. That was from her. I agree with it. So it really targets low-income people and African-American people, especially in areas that are low-income but maybe look nice. You know, Oakland Beach, for instance, started out, you know, centuries ago as a Jewish community that was all beautiful houses. Then when I first moved here 40 years ago, people referred to it as the ghetto. Now it's back on the upswing. There's a lot of short-term rentals there because it's got beautiful views. Oakland Beach is a beautiful area. Although those people that own them pay property taxes, they don't often pay taxes on their help. They have friends, cleaning it, doing that kind of stuff. And if somebody owes multiple ones, I challenge you that you're cleaning a bunch of them, because I clean mine. It takes me, you know, I have people check out at 11, check in at 3, and unless I'm standing there at 11, it's an hour and a half job. You got to do it right, especially with COVID. So, you know, it's not something that you can just pop in and do real easy. It reduces the number of permanent residents. The things that can happen with short-term rentals. Oh, it artificially inflates property values. Now, that's something that people don't think of, but if I have a house and I'm going to sell it and I say to someone that wants to buy it, like, imagine this. You could buy this house. You could live in this room. You could make this money. Or you can buy this house and you don't even have to live in it. And that's what's happened. So that's the other thing that happens. It forces renters to move, like my new friend Crystal, who literally I just met last week. Today I invited her to stay through the new year because I know she will never get out of this. She will never get a down payment for first month's last month while she's making 18, 16 bucks an hour working the night shift. Small stores are affected. If I own a little store, especially if I'm in a real, like Newport, Narragansett, and I own a little store where people come in and get stuff, and it's tourist season, I'm busy. Guess what? When it's not tourist season, neighborhood has went dark, and I'm not busy. So it affects the neighborhood. It's unfair competition for hotels. I know many of you are real proponents of businesses in Warwick. Well, when you let people buy up houses, a three-bedroom house, and rent up three bedrooms, that's three bedrooms that a hotel's not getting. That means that the hotel has to lower their staff. So it has a cumulative effect by allowing a lot of short-term rentals not owner-occupied in your area. The reason I think that owner-occupied is good, and I've been owner-occupied my whole life, and I can tell you, I've gotten calls in the middle of the night. Some guy locked him out one time, locked himself out. I was like, hold on, went downstairs. A couple weeks ago, the toilet wasn't filling. So, you know, did I want to call a plumber right away? No, I wanted to run upstairs and see if I could fix it. You know, of course. So that's, you know, the whole thing is if I own a short-term rental, if I own one and I live wherever or I'm at work and you call me and tell me that, am I going to call somebody right away who's going to charge me $1.50 just to come in? No, I want to take a look-see, which is what I did. I did end up paying a plumber, though. I can monitor how many guests people have. I can tell you I've had people, they show up, and I'm very park here. I sit where I sit, I can see. I live on a dead end. I see another car pull up, I'm out the door like, hi. You have one, you know, oh, this is my friend. Nope. Sorry. That's not what it says when you sign up. You can't do that. You know, Susie might say, I'm coming with my best friend from college, and then all her college roommates show up. I mean, that's the stuff that happens, especially where I live in Warwick Neck. The other thing is that, those to me are the cons. I mean, there's so many great things about it. You know, I get to meet great people. I have people that return visit. I recommend them to go all the places in Warwick. I really enjoy what I do. I live near wedding venues. I can't tell you how many times someone's staying at my place and they're at the wedding of their college friend, but none of them live here anymore. So their friends are at the wedding. And they'll say to me, do you have another room? They're staying in a house that the screen's broke. The lock doesn't work. All the different things that happen when you're not there to pay attention. So I can tell you that there's a lot of things that that go into play when you have a short-term rental. The other thing is that, you know, I know that you guys are very interested in safety. Safety of everything, streets, all the things you talked about tonight. The first thing was safety, which it should be.
You have 1 minute, Ms. Wilson.
Okay. Well, another thing is safety, because When someone's at my house, they can look at other houses. They can look around. I don't know who they are. I screen people really strongly. So my question to you is, and I'm so glad you're finally going to regulate this, are you going to contact every one of the owners that a lot of them are here and insist that they do the things that you made me do so many years ago? And owners, are you going to do the right thing?
30 seconds.
And make it safe for your guests? Because there was quite a few things that made a lot of sense that I didn't think of that these people did. So, and to the council members, I really hope that you are going to reach out to the neighbors of the owners and see how they feel. Because if you want to know, I mean, these all people are going to be, oh, yeah, we want them. Of course, they have them. But it's their neighbors that you need to talk to, not them. So I hope you're not influenced by a crowd, because they certainly have a crowd.
Time's up.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Time to perfect.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else that would like to speak in favor of PCO 4-22 at this time? Come on up. Take your time, guys. You don't have to.
Good evening. My name is Michael Marola. I will be brief. I have a home in Pottawamat, and I was doing Airbnb for about 9 years until COVID came. I am an owner-occupied. I've never had a problem. But I also use Airbnb, and whenever I've gone to use Airbnb, there's no owner there, and I've never abused anyone's property. So I think that we should consider people on an individual basis. If people don't own their property, don't live in the property that they're renting, they may also be very responsible. And I think that people should have a shot at that. If they abuse it and there's a problem, as we all know, neighbors will call. And then they get shut down. But I don't think that people should just be, should not have an equal opportunity.
Thank you. The next individual would like to speak in favor. I think we had a couple. Anyone else that would like to speak in favor of PCO 4-22? Yes, ma'am.
My name is Lorraine Byrne, 20 Seabreeze Lane, Warwick. As a neighbor of several homes that rent out rooms, I would just like to say that I think it's very important that they be owner-occupied, because someone needs to keep an eye on the places so they don't become party houses, and to limit the number of people that are staying there, because if you have some people want to have a big party and they just invite all their friends over to an arbitrary house, you get cars all over the street and a mess and noise, and you need somebody that's there to supervise it.
Thank you. Is there anyone else to speak in favor? Is there anyone else to speak in favor? Is there anyone else to speak in favor? Okay. Is there anyone here this evening who'd like to speak against PCO 4-22? All right, you guys can either line up or just come up one at a time.
Just identify yourself. Yes, I will. Good evening. My name is James Martin. I lived at... Can you hear me all right? James Martin. Okay, sorry about that. I lived at 32 Stetson Street for 17 years. We just recently moved not too long ago, about 2.5 years ago. And I can assure you, you know, many of the things that this lady had mentioned up here earlier, talking about, you know, housing and all this other stuff, that doesn't make any sense to me at all, because I can't understand that. That's a global crisis that we're all experiencing. Housing market is, there's a shortage of houses because of other companies coming in from China. Like she mentioned, that's BlackRock Group. That's a federal level. That's big hedge funds coming in and buying up houses. That's got nothing to do with someone coming in and buying up a house to rent it out short term, because that house would still not be available for that person that is looking for a house anyway, because that's a mortgage. 95% of these houses that are being purchased, they're not being done through arbitrage. They're being done through, you know, someone taking on the risk, taking on that mortgage and renting that out, just like any other business in the city of Warwick. So with that being said, I've had my neighbors actually approach me personally, because you can't control when you have a tenant that comes into your house and your neighbor rents that out, and that person is throwing lavish parties and having everybody come over the house, and whether they're on the sex offenders list or any other of those other crises, you can't get that person out as easy as you can as if you go to short-term rental. Because most people that rent short-term rentals, they're there for 3 to 5 days and they're gone. You never have to deal with that person ever again. So we have strict screening processes in place that we utilize throughout all of that. And my neighbors, like I was going back to that point to reiterate, my neighbor had actually asked me to purchase the house across the street from the house that I owned for 17 years, because they didn't like who bought that house, and there was no way for them to get that person out, because they were having cars all over the yard. They were having parties, burnout going up and down the street, and there was no way for them to get them out. So we have everything that we do when we have someone coming in, we're monitoring that strictly. So I just feel as though you're holding, land use homeowners at putting their hand at fault before there's ever even any type of citations or any problems. I appreciate everybody here listening to us, and we're going to hear everybody's side of the stories. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Please step up.
Thank you. Excuse me, Mr. President. Could you just ask that the speakers identify themselves and where they live, please?
Sure. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening, council members and everybody in the audience here. My name is Bill Gagner from Seaview Ave in Cranston. We own several properties in Pawtuxet Village, and we have both short and long-term rentals there, with two houses that we have in Warwick, one on Spring Garden, which is a short-term rental, and the other is a permanent home that my son lives in as his primary residence. I've been a property owner in Pawtuxet Village since 2011 and a permanent resident here since 2014. All three of my kids went to college here, so I moved down here from Massachusetts. In the past 5 years, we've had over 2,000 guests and over 600 positive reviews on Airbnb, and a lot of those reviews are from our neighbors. Our neighbors utilize our homes, and we all live in the village. My family lives in the village, and I can see four of them from my house, and we're there literally every day. It's a seven-day-a-week job. There's a lot of issues here that have already been thought out. They've got very thoughtful responses through Airbnb and through our own experience. I've been doing this since 1982, mostly long-term, and we've started the short-term in 2018. So we've got 2,000 guests who've come through. We've got zero complaints from our neighbors. We have had issues here and there. Only two guests in that five-year time we've asked to leave, and because of the rules that Airbnb already has in place and the expectations and the rules that we put in place well before they signed up to come as a guest, they were gone within an hour of the infraction. We employ the minute device in several of our properties, which measures the decibels. It measures the amount of devices in the house, and it measures humidity, temperature, things like that. So you can immediately keep an eye on everything. And because we live close by, and if this, I'm assuming this is going to be amended to include non-owner occupied at some point, we don't have a problem with a representative close by. We always respond within an hour of any call that comes in for any issues. but there's been so few, and most can be taken care of quite quickly. We strongly oppose the ordinance as it's written. There's a lot of issues with it that single out short-term owners as an issue. Now, we've looked at some of the complaints that were issued. There's really no detail that the town can give us. We should be part of the process. When you're writing an ordinance, you've got to get a lot of people involved. We want to be involved. We've got great ideas. I've got 40 years of experience. My daughter, Greer, she does most of the managing. She can handle all of the social media information, all of the information that you get from the minute devices and all the rest to take care of any issues that go on. We have cleaning crews that go in on a regular basis, and our typical rent guest is there 3 to 4 days as an average. We do strongly oppose with that ordinance because it really does conflict with the intent and the spirit of the law, the state law. You're not that far off, though. There's some tweaks to this that can be done that allows everybody to have a part of this particular business. It unfairly and arbitrarily targets the short-term landlords and doesn't do anything about the long-term landlord issues that what we found in our experience are really more of a problem over a long period of time. The right to rent one's property is one of the most fundamental rights of private property ownership. This ordinance significantly impacts the property owner's substantial interests in well-recognized property rights while serving little, if any, legitimate public purpose as it's written. You're not that far off. The intent was to put the responsibility to the towns to have something to work with, to regulate this so it works for everybody, not just a small portion, and penalize all of the people for the faults of a few. It just doesn't work like that. We get some serious constitutional issues as well in regards to how it's worded and what rights that we feel we already have that it actually takes away or intends to take away. Regardless what was the impetus for this being written as it is, we don't want to use other towns' issues for issues that don't happen in our town. This should be tailored to Warwick. We're all about Warwick. We're all about making sure that it's secure. It's tailored to the different neighborhoods. There's a lot of different neighborhoods here. Pawtuxet Village has different things to offer than Oakland Beach or any of the other neighborhoods. Every part of this should take that into account. There's a few things here. Security. So the vetting of the guests is accomplished by Airbnb and by our own inquiries. We ask, why are you coming in? And Airbnb now has increased security. So you have to have at least 3 methods of identification, including a government-issued ID. And that helps quite a bit. We also employ the location monitoring device minute, which I just mentioned. We employ outdoor cameras, so it takes a picture of the entrance and the street in front of the places that we do have, and decibel levels and things like that. So we will get notified within just a few minutes, and we can handle any problems before any of our neighbors even know that there's an issue. Parking, most responsible hosts have very strict rules on parking. We live in the neighborhoods, and most of the people here, I think, are very close to the homes that they have. They either live nearby or have enough common sense where they're going to have strict parking rules, so it's not going to be a party atmosphere. We have very strict rules, and if you don't go by those rules, you're out within 1 hour. Older homes and other cottages, you don't want to have such strict rules on parking that you're going to have to start ripping up yards. That's really going against what you're intending to do. So some accommodation should be expected on that. Noise and nuisances, there's existing laws that take care of those now. The reporting is the key to this. How do people feel comfortable about reporting those things? One of the things that I've given one of the council members here is how other towns do it. And Middletown seems to be the shining example of taking everything into account and giving brochures out to the neighbors and everyone involved, the landlords. These are our expectations. These are the rules. These are the consequences if you don't follow those rules. Going on to easily accessible property representative. Not everybody lives in Warwick. I live across the cove, so I'm technically in Warwick because I'm on that side of the bridge. But you know, in regards to having a property representative, that's a great idea. That can be.
You have 1 minute, sir.
Okay, thank you. I'm just about done. That can be something that you can work into this so it works properly for everybody involved here. Everybody's got a very significant investment in this, both time, money. Your family lives here. You have your guests coming back on a regular basis. So the representatives should be accessible 24/7 and should be able to respond within a very quick time frame in order to physically respond if there's an issue. Process to deal with complaints. That's what I was talking about. I've given Mr. Foley an example of what Middletown does, and it gives a brochure for people. You have all these different numbers to call. There's a lot of things that can take care of these problems before they occur. So the tax benefits, you know, we've paid more than $40,000 in short-term rental taxes in the last 5 years. Next year alone, we expect to pay nearly $30,000 or more. Just that one residence that we have on Spring Garden Street, it pays more than $6,000 in taxes projected for this coming year.
Time's up, sir.
Please use this communication as a request for a continuance and appointing a committee that includes us in the committee to amend this so it works for everybody here. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mr. President, may we ask questions?
No, we're taking public comment at this time. Next up, please come to the mic.